You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Deacon John of the Black Catholic Initiative. And it's a beautiful morning if you're listening, and if you're out already early this morning, you can see that it's a nice morning. So glad to be alive. If you're listening to this message, you are blessed. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Today's guest is President Anthony Daniels Halisi of Hales Franciscan High School, and we're delighted to have him on this morning. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Deacon Cook?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, excellent.
Thank you for joining us this morning and coming on to talk about your wonderful school there. But initially, we want to talk about you, Anthony. We want to talk to you about, first of all, how you got into this. But first of all, how did you grow up? How was your childhood?
Well, I'm originally from Altadena in Pasadena, California. I was born in Los Angeles. So went to school on the West Coast. Turned out my mom was adopted, and didn't know about that till I got back to Chicago, ironically.
Wow.
So anyway, grew up in California. Went to high school, had split my time between a high school called John Muir High School and another one called St. Francis High School. Ended up at Indiana University because my dad was a professor there. He taught political science, and that got me here to the Midwest. Ended up at Amoco Corporation, and from there ended up, you know, moving into doing not-for-profit work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of consistent with the way I grew up. My family was one of the families responsible for the creation of the Kwanzaa holiday.
Really?
So, you know, the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles, all of that was very, you know, essential to how I grew up. And so when I came here, although I had a business degree from Indiana University and I was doing very well at Amoco Corporation on the corporate side, something just kept calling me to do community work.
Slow down a little bit there, Anthony. Tell us more about this Kwanzaa celebration and how your parents were integral parts of beginning that.
Sure. Well, you know, it was started by Dr. Maulana Karenga, and obviously it was an organization called US, but if it's an organization, it involves a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
He was the chairman of the organization. My dad was the vice chairman of the organization. My uncle ran their printing press. My mom, of course, was involved. I had other family members who were involved. And so when they were creating the Kwanzaa holiday,
uh-huh,
my parents were there. And when they had the first celebration, and it was created in 65, but the first celebration was held in 1966. I was born in 65, so I was at that. Obviously, I don't remember much about it, but, you know, I'm told you were at the first Kwanzaa celebration.
Wow.
And so, you know, I grew up going to a school that they had in Los Angeles that was African-centered and kind of based on, you know, African culture and tradition. Before that school closed up, and then I went into the public school system in the third grade. So, but our family continued to celebrate the holiday. We continued to study our history. We continued to revere, you know, in our African culture. And I ended up just growing up with those things being core to who I am. And that pulled me out of corporate America and pulled me into the nonprofit sector.
So tell me, don't tell me, but tell our audience, if you would, just a kind of a quick review of what Kwanzaa, the principles anyway, is all about.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the big myths about the holiday, and it's important probably to get out to the religious community, is it's not a religious holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think, oh, this is something that, you know, African Americans created that's supposed to be a substitute for Christmas, but notice it starts the day after. Mm-hmm. It really is just a cultural celebration. It's a celebration of our African identity and heritage. It's based on seven principles, which are called the Nguzo Saba. So, you know, Moja, which is unity, Kuji Chagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, which is purpose, Kuumba, which is creativity, and the very last principle is Imani, which is faith. And every day, you know, a candle is lit. There's, if you think of a Jewish menorah, but we use kind of a stepping kind of candle holder that looks like a African temple. An African, you know, temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pyramid, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And then what we do is we put the red, black, and green candles into it in alternating fashion. And each day we light a candle and we talk about that principle. So on the first day we talk about, you know, Umoja, unity. And you just go back and forth and you do that with your family. And in addition to that, you hopefully have family and friends over. You might have some traditional African-American dishes. You sit down, you talk with your kids about our history and our contribution to society going, you know, to the beginning of man. And you try to inculcate in them a sense of the power of being a person of African descent. And, you know, that's kind of the way I grew up. And then on the last day, the children get what we call zawadis, which are gifts, but they only get the gifts if they kept their resolutions from the prior year. So every year you sit down, and on the last day, Imani, which is faith, you sit down with them and you have them make resolutions for what they're going to do to contribute to the community and to better their family and better themselves.
Mm.
And at the end of the year, you review. And if, in fact, they did what they were supposed to do, then you give them gifts, but the gifts aren't just generic gifts. The gifts are cultural gifts. So you always give a book about African-American history or something written by an African-American that's culturally related. And then you might give them a cultural item like maybe a dress or a headset or something like that.
That is some good stuff. You know, and I'm glad that we had the opportunity to share that because I've learned something, you know, even thinking I knew as much as I did, but appreciate you sharing that with us.
No, appreciate you asking.
And, you know, it also was leading to the second question, but I kind of know now a little bit. It's like, you know, what put you on this path to become now president of Hales Franciscan High School? And I would say that this is a big part of it.
No, I sure. And, you know, my family's a family of educators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had my grandmother's brothers and sisters were educated, and that was way back in the day, right?
Right.
Early 1900s. They went on to become college professors. My dad obviously went on and got his PhD from UCLA and became a professor. My grandmother ran a youth center. Prior to my dad getting his PhD, he ran a small independent school in California. So I kind of had that education bug already.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came here to Chicago, the first community that I connected with was the what we call in the African American community, the conscious community. So these were folks who were doing Kwanzaa, who were celebrating African culture in the city. So, you know, it was people like Dr. Comrade Worrell, Dr. Hannibal Lafreak, Dr. Carol Lee or Safisha Matabudi, Dr. Haki Matabudi. So what they ended up doing was kind of like slowly exposing me to what was going on culturally here in Chicago. And in the process of that, Dr. Lee or Dr. Safisha Matabudi, they had an independent school called New Concept School. It was struggling a little bit, private school on the south side, culture-based school.
President Halisi, I hate to interrupt you. Let us take a break real quick, and we'll come back to join you on that conversation.
Sure.
Okay.
The soul, and a cry of the Lord. Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Did you know you could meet your goal of running a marathon and grow in your faith at the same time? Hi, I'm Sister Stephanie of the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels here in Chicago. Our mission has valuable guaranteed entries into the 2019 Bank of America Chicago Marathon. We'll get you training help, a race weekend support crew, and much more. And by joining Team OLA, you can help support the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels as we provide a Catholic presence and very needed outreach to the poor on Chicago's West Side. So run with me and the rest of Team OLA in the 2019 Chicago Marathon. We also will have a team in the Bank of America Shamrock Shuffle this coming spring. Visit missionola.com for more information or call 773-486-8431. That's missionola.com or call 773-486-8431. Thanks and God bless.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how the Catholic Campaign for Human Development reaches out to people living on the margins. We'll take you to the UIC Pavilion, where more than 8,000 middle school students celebrated their faith at Holy Fire. And we'll introduce you to Deacon Freddy, who is on a mission to provide toys for needy children in Guatemala.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Okay, this is Deacon John. You're listening to WNDZ 750 AM, the Black Catholic Initiative. Our guest this morning is President Anthony Daniels Halisi from Hales Franciscan High School, and we're having a great conversation and learning a whole lot as well about the Kwanzaa celebration and how it all began. And President Halisi, when we left off, you were talking about the conscious community and all those contributors here in Chicago that you've united with. And you were talking about some individuals as we left off to our break. So did you want to finish a thought there?
Sure. So those individuals, brought me into the community, exposed me to a whole lot of people, a whole lot of opportunities, had an opportunity to periodically substitute on radio station WVON with Dr. Conrad Werwuerl when he was away.
Mm-hmm.
For 20 years, a group of us did a Kwanzaa celebration, 3-day celebration every year at the South Shore Cultural Center. It was attended by 4,000 people.
Mm.
Was able to create a couple of African-American directories of black organizations, one for the Chicago Urban League and then one for a publication called The Success Guide back in the day. So what it did was it allowed me to really get a chance to meet a whole lot of incredible people working on behalf of black people here in Chicago. And that edified me and strengthened me and kind of gave me resolve that, what I was taught as a kid, with my family, through the US organization, and through Kwanzaa, how important that was, and how important it was that people like you, I know the tremendous work that you do, and people like me, that, we be called forth by the Creator to toil and work hard to make our communities better. And so I ended up leaving corporate, and Dr. Safisha Matabudi talked me into taking over at a small private school called New Concept School, legendary school, one of the pioneering early schools that embraced an Afrocentric curriculum.
And where was this at?
It was inside initially a bookstore that they had called Third World Press on 75th and Cottage Grove.
I remember that.
And then they ended up buying St. Francis de Paula, the building across from Hirsch, from the Archdiocese.
Mm.
And the school is still there to this day. In addition, we ended up creating a charter school, again, a cultural rooted school called Betty Shabazz International Charter School, which exists to this day.
Yeah, we had a principal on our show from Betty Shabazz School.
No, I mean, and incredible people. So I'm one of the founders of Betty Shabazz. I actually was the CEO there up until 2012.
Oh,
so
wow.
For almost a, man, almost a 12-year run. So that you know, you just end up being propelled on a journey, and then when when it comes to Hills Franciscan, Melody Spann Cooper, who's the owner of WVON Radio, we were listening on the radio, and they were talking about some of the financial challenges they were having, maybe in 2016,
mm-hmm.
and the possibility of closing, and. It turned out that Melody had went to Mother McCauley.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, had went to a Catholic school, went to Loyola, converted.
I would have never guessed that.
Converted to Catholicism. So this is the owner of the, you know, the top black radio station here in Chicago.
Yes.
And I had gone to St. Francis High School. I had been doing schoolwork. And we just said, you know, when we looked into the history of Hills Franciscan, there's just no way this could happen, right?
Yes.
And as we did the research, we were just like, wow, this is a tremendous school. Here's a school started by the Franciscan Province of the Sacred Heart that really, in hindsight, was inspired by Father Augustus Tolton, right?
Now, don't take my questions away from me. Slow down a little bit. First of all, before you start talking about that topic, and I certainly wanted to ask you about that, just give us a little history about Hales, though. And I know that probably is where you were going.
Yeah,
but
that's the beginning.
That is the beginning. So go ahead and share them with us how Father Augustus Tolton, who, of course, is being considered to be a saint now, how his hands played a role.
Sure. So when you think about it, so the Franciscan province of the Sacred Heart Province, you know, originally is a Franciscan province or order that was in Germany. And there was a father who was in Quincy, Illinois, who needed some assistance. Quincy was kind of a new city emerging and made a request that some Franciscans be sent, right?
Right.
So in 1858, the order in Germany sent some Franciscans to Quincy. Flash forward 40 years to 1898. There's a young man. He's not a priest yet. He's you know, what they call a lay apostolate. He's, you know, evangelizing as a lay person,
mm-hmm.
trying to convert the 3,000 African Americans who are now in Quincy, many who had escaped from slavery across the border from Missouri. And he hooks up with a father there named Father Richard,
mm-hmm.
and he talks him into starting a Sunday school for African Americans, right?
Right.
That school was so successful that the two of them ended up starting a Catholic school called St. Joseph's School for African Americans. So that was the beginning of the Franciscan Province of the Sacred Heart, which is the province that created Hills Franciscan, expanding their education apostolate, because they also were the ones who started St. Francis Solanus, which is now also Quincy College, right?
So, President, yes, let's take another break, because this is such great information. I wish we had a longer show, but we're going to enter into our last segment right after this break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Cardinal Blaise Cupich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
To find out more about CCHD and to contribute, go to archchicago.org and click on Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Join us for a celebration of life in the Archdiocese of Chicago on the weekend of January 12th and 13th. Hello, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, president of the March for Life Chicago. We're planning many Respect Life activities for that weekend, including a youth rally, Masses for Life, a Rose Dinner, and of course, the March for Life Chicago itself. A standing room only crowd is expected at Holy Name Cathedral on Sunday at 11 a.m. as Cardinal Supich celebrates the Archdiocesan Mass for Life. The spotlight turns to Federal Plaza at 2 in the afternoon for the March for Life Chicago. Lots of great speakers will address the crowd, among them Ryan Bomberger of Radiance Foundation and Jeannie Mancini of the National March for Life. The march will wind its way through the streets of Chicago in a massive show of support for the sanctity of life. For more information on all the activities planned for January 12th and 13th, go to marchforlifechicago.org. That's marchforlifechicago.org. Be sure to dress warm.
So, President Helisi, when we left off, we were talking about the storied history of Hell's Franciscan, but also the hand that Father Augustus Toden played in it.
Oh, I mean, incredible. So again, you know, in 1879, he inspires, actually, the Franciscan Province of the Sacred Heart, which is the province that started Hell's Franciscan High School, to start the first school for African Americans, which for the province, which was in Quincy, called St. Joseph's School, right?
Yes.
And then the Franciscans, of course, accept him into their school, Quincy College, then with St. Francis Solanus, and educated him. And the Franciscans that are part of the order that created Hell's Franciscans were also the ones who made the appeal overseas to Rome to get him in the seminary in Rome when none of the seminaries in the United States would accept him, right? So played an integral part in him getting through seminary and ultimately being ordained. And then when you kind of flash forward, that got the Franciscans of the Sacred Heart Province to expand their education apostolate, where they were focused on serving African Americans. They end up in Chicago at Corpus Christi. So Corpus Christi, they start a high school here for the African American community in 1945. Again, the predecessor school of that was St. Joseph's, which is, again, in 1879. So they do that until 1962, when they ended up getting a brand-new facility over here at Hell's Franciscan High School. When St. Xavier College, which was here for women, left and moved to the southwest side, they took over the property, built a new building. They closed their Corpus Christi High School and ended up opening this, and so the young men from Corpus Christi came over here, plus they took the young men out of St. Elizabeth, converted it back to all girls, and all the boys from St. Elizabeth ended up coming to Hales when it opened in 1962. But the beauty of this is just the hand of God is on Hales Franciscan, has always been. This has always been this incredible place for young African-American men, where God has put his hands on this, and really this whole trajectory of having a school, and we're the only school of this type in the state of Illinois that was started just for African-American men. There are two others around the country, St. Augustine's in New Orleans and then Vernon Day in Watts. But in Illinois, we're the only one, right?
Yes.
And all this was put in motion. The reason that Hell's Franciscan sits here today is because a young man who was a lay apostate before he became a priest, named Augustus Tolton, inspired the order to open a school for African Americans in Quincy in 1878.
I am blown away. First of all, that you have that kind of history inside of you and you can share it so easily. And I don't know, but is that part of his story, or is that being shared as Father Augustus Tolton is being considered as a saint?
It is. There's inside of many of the documents, it talks about the roles that the Franciscans play, especially one Franciscan by the name of Father Richard. It talks about him, the Franciscans of the Sacred Heart Province that started Hales, accepting him into Quincy, which is a school that they operated. It talks about them writing the letter to Rome, which ultimately got him into a seminary. So I think the Franciscans of the Sacred Heart Province, the friars, are really humble, and they don't talk about it a lot. But that was the thing that inspired us in the African American community to come forth and say, you know, not this school. This school is divinely created. It has a pedigree. It has a history. And this is something that, you know, God has his hands on through the inspiration of the school, through Father Tolton and the Franciscans, that, you know, this school is worthy of saving. And the incredible work that is done, we've graduated 4,000 African-American males since our founding in 1962. If we think about our predecessor school, Corpus Christi, that's where Father George Clemens went.
Oh,
he
wow.
was inspired as a seventh grader. He says it all the time when he speaks. It was the Franciscans of the Sacred Heart Province, the ones who started Hales, who also had Corpus Christi and St. Joseph back with Augustus Tolton. He saw the work that they were doing in the community, and it inspired him to want to be a priest. And why is that important? Because then you have someone like Father Michael Flager, who's doing incredible work, who says George Clemens is his mentor. You know.
Yes.
So when I think about the work that Franciscans of the Sacred Heart Province has done in this space and the people that they've inspired and touched, literally 4,000 students, but we think about their parents, you think about the teachers, other people in here, close to 5,000-6,000 people have been inspired to go on and do great things because of that order putting its hands on Hales Franciscan, Corpus Christi, and, of course, St. Joseph School in partnership with Father Augustus Tolton. So this school has to stay open. It has to continue doing the incredible work that it's doing in the African-American community on behalf of our black boys.
So, and thank you for sharing that. It's just wonderful to hear all this great information. So with about 2 minutes left, tell us what's going on now.
So we opened Hales Franciscan, you know, in 1962. The school did incredible things, and like all schools, sometimes it hits a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Hales kind of hit that moment. One of the things that happened is you had an out-migration of a lot of middle-class black families to the suburbs. You had an explosion of charter schools. There's 143 now selective enrollment schools, and so there's a lot of competition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what we have to do is just to continue putting forth a vision for young men at Hales Franciscan that attracts them back to the school and tries to get the community to understand that you can send your kid to a school that has the things that we have in terms of a rigorous curriculum and all those things, or at least they say that 100% graduation. But you need to send your children to a school that also has the faith-based components and the character-building components, because that's what's going to make them stand out when they get their degrees from college and they're seeking jobs. It's like, how do they present themselves as men? And that's what's going to be important to them being builders in our community and stabilizing our communities going forward. So we changed the model. We're now kind of a service learning academy focused on engineering and entrepreneurship, because we believe those mindsets in conjunction with a spiritual grounding will make our young men stand out. So we're in the midst of recruiting for next year. So if you've got a student in the 9th, 10th, or 11th grade who are looking for a school, Hales Franciscan is here.
Give us some information so that people will have it.
They can call us at 773 285-8400, or they can go to our website, www.halesfranciscan.org. They can give me a call if they want to at 312-371-0815. And, we need all the assistance we can to make sure that this institution that Father Augustus Tolton, the Franciscan Friars, and, of course, God has put his hands on.
And the Friars are still working with you, correct?
That is true.
Yes.
So the Friars are here. They've been acting as our chaplains and teaching courses, and we're so thankful to have them.
Principal Hellesi, thank you so much for coming on. God bless you for all the wonderful work that you're doing, that you continue to do, and may he bless the future of Hales Franciscan High School and all the children, students that are crossing that path. Thank you so much.
All right, and thank you for being a blessing and inviting us on today.
God bless.
God bless.